Well, first I would like to, of course, thank the organizer for making it possible for me to talk to you today. On the slide you see the three driving forces behind the IEPV work in my lab, Eyal Mowry, Edna Tana, and Rita Moses-Koch. I will address four different topics, or four different issues. The first of is the most important to me. I am not a bee person. I am a molecular biologist and a virologist. And the major interest of my lab now is RNA recombination, a host viral RNA recombination. And as it turned out, we think it is associated with CCD. So I'll give a little bit of information about this RNA recombination things. Then I'll just point out what have been already pointed out by others, which is the differences between IAPV and KBV. Then I'll give some new information about Varroa and IAPV, and then I'll try to convey to you our current working hypothesis of how CCD is developing. This would be a hypothetical part of the talk. Okay, RNA recombination and IPV. Since 205 already, we've published a paper that shows that segments of RNA viral, non-retro RNA viruses, can be integrated into the host genome. Right now we know that at least this is true for 5 or 6 different RNA viruses. But at that time, we wondered whether we have just a single case, an accidental case. So we started to look around for other viruses. And since we had a program on IAPV, we chose IAPV as well into the sample. And we found out that, yes, segments of the viral RNA are being reverse transcribed and integrated into the genome of the bee. And here are two papers, only the two papers that are regarding IAPV. There are more that regarding other viruses. And then the recombined RNA may reverse transcribes and integrated into the host genome. And a virus may transmit the chimeric RNA horizontally. And such recombinations occur frequently. We know that now, just for a few months now, working with the plant virus, that the frequency of this is quite high. Now, this cartoon is summarizing our work on RNA recombination. And what you see is a cell, the blue thing is the nucleus, and of course the DNA inside the nucleus. And of course there is transcription, and the messenger RNA goes out into the cytoplasm. And then a virus comes in, and the RNA, the viral RNA, is being released and enters the cell. And now, in certain cases, and due to, so far, as we know, due to hot spots on the sequences, on both sequences of the RNA and the viral RNA, some recombination takes place. I don't know the frequency of this. But there are chimeric RNAs being made from cellular RNA and viral RNA. And there are different types of chimeric RNAs. And this is not only summarizing IAPV. This is what we know from a series of viruses. And one of these may be reverse transcribed, go back to the nucleus, and integrate into very slowly into the host genome. In this case, the bee. And these ones are then maybe integrated into the intergenic region of the genome, and that means that they are going to be deteriorated with every cell division. And if you are not looking for very short sequences in a few generations, you don't find it. But some are going into stable regions of the genome, and at least one of them, we know for sure, is being transcribed as a chimeric RNA. And this RNA goes into the cytoplasm, And at the same time, the virus replicates and make a chimeric protein. And then at the same time, the virus replicates and make its own RNA progeny. And if this chimeric RNA here carries signals of assembly, it may encapsulate it with the viral genome into the virus, into the progeny virus. So you see there is some proportion of these goes into this, some proportion of these goes into this, and some proportion of these goes into this. So it's going to be lower and lower and lower at every step. And then this virus now may move the new trait into another cell. And not only to another cell, if this virus is affecting two different organisms, it will move the new trait from organism to organism. And in one of the papers, we have shown clearly that there is a reciprocal exchange of sequences between the virus and the host. Not only that we found viral sequences in the host genome, we found host sequences in the viral genome. Again, at a certain proportion of the viral genome, a certain proportion of host cells. So now I am coming to the IAPV and KBV, and you can see the phylogenetic picture of the sister viruses, and you can see that they cluster together. IAPV, KBV, and ABBV are clustering together. And that the KBV and IAPV are closer to each other than the other ones. And if we now compare the sequences, and I'll do it quickly because Diana already mentioned a lot of that. The complete genome is about 74% homology, and the non-structural and the structural ORFs are also very highly conserved. Highly, not very highly conserved. Highly conserved. But the intergenic region and the 3 and the 5 UTRs are quite diverse. Now, the top line here is our sequence of IAPV, our strain, let's call it. And these are four different full-length sequences of the KBV that we found in the gene bank. And you can see that there are two major differences. So this is, the computer identified this as homologous to this, not identical, but homologous, on this and this. But these segments of KBV, he didn't identify as homologous to this, this and that. And this is quite a long one, this is a shorter one. So if we take these sequences and analyze them separately, we found that in both cases, we have the 3' prime end of the sequence, of this differential sequence, homologous to IAPV, but at less than 55%, sorry. But at less than 55% identity, so the computer didn't recognize it as a homology. But the 5' prime end of this differential sequence is of unknown sequence. You can't find anything in the database that can account for this white part of the genome. And don't ask me what it is, although I have some thinking about that. Now, conclusions up to here is that IAPV, KBV, and ABPV evolve separately from a common ancestor. IAPV evolves from KBV or vice versa. And IAPV acquired extra sequences from an unknown source. Interim suggestion, I may drop it, I'm not sure of that. Now, Varroa and IAPV. Varroa is known to be a vector of many deceased viruses, so it was not very much of a surprise to find that Varroa is also infected with the IAPV. In our case, 100% of the samples that we tested have been found infected with IAPV, but I must warn you that 100% is 100% of 20 samples. So that's not very conclusive. But all of the 20 samples were found to carry varroa in infection. What was surprising is most of them also carried segments of IAPV, the same segment that you found in the bee, in the genome. So whatever I was talking before about RNA integration moving into the genome, hotspots, and whatever, is also correct for IAPV and varroa. And now I'm not going to surprise you in suggesting that this is at least trilateral association between IAPV, the bee, and the varroa. And later on, I will elaborate a little bit more about that. Now, as a general conclusion, not conclusion yet, a general hypothesis that we are entertaining with all these RNA recombination things is this a case of a three-way host virus coevolution? Because I believe that many of you already realize that if there is a genomic sequence exchanges between host and virus and host, there is an impact on evolution of both the host and the virus. Now, a working hypothesis of IAPV and CCD. This is the working hypothesis we entertain now in our lab. Not necessarily correct. It's still an hypothesis, so bear it in mind. I used to tell my students when I was teaching that not everything which is logical is also correct. So please remember that. I'll be stressing what is an hypothesis every time, so don't mix facts with theories, okay? Now let's start from facts. There is a strong statistical association between CCD and IAPV. No question about that. Segments of the IAPV genomes are integrated into the B genome. This is a fact. IAPV kills. This is a fact. So whatever you see as CCD is not the primary reaction to IAPV. It's something that comes later in our term. However, and this is very important, bees carrying integrated IAPV segments are resistant to IAPV and survive. So when we inoculate, when we test the genome of bees in a certain hive and find out that they don't have IAPV integration into them, and we inoculate them with IAPV, depends on the experiment, between 90 and 98% die, but between 2 and 10% survive. I don't know whether they survive because of integration or this was just an accident. But when we checked bees in Israel from various hives all across the country, we found out that about 30% of the bees are carrying these segments in their genome and they are resistant to IAPV. So it is conceivable that a very small proportion of the bees has become resistant, but the proportion in the population is going to increase by natural selection with every cycle of infection. Every generation will create more and more resistant bees. Nature, just natural selection. So maybe the whole problem will dissolve itself in 100 years from now, I don't know. But this is the nature of natural selection. If you have a population sensitive to a pathogen and part of it is resistant to the pathogen, the proportion of the resistant population is going to increase with time. Now, the second row is already an assumption. It's not a fact. Some of the survival bees develop CCD. So what I'm saying here, and I'm saying it in theory, that bees affected with IAPV.
Can you go over to the microphone?
Oh, sorry. What I'm saying here, and I'm saying it in theory, not as a fact, is that bees infected with IPV are getting killed. Some of them survive, and some of the survived bee may develop CCD. And if we move on along this line of thinking, we ask ourselves, do the integrated IPV sequences cause a behavioral alteration of the bee? This is logical, and as I said, told you before, logic and correctness is not always the same thing. If you have a segment, a gene interrupted, or a gene affected, even let's say by a transcriptional factor that has been altered or something like this, you may find natural B genes altered in the function, and some of them, or one of them, or there are hotspots, so I don't know, may cause a behavioral change in the bee. We are talking theory. Please remember, this is a hypothesis. Now, we have found at least five integration of IAPV into at least five loci in the bee genome. It doesn't mean that we don't have 50 different loci. We found five. There is another one, and these are all in the intergenic region of the bee genome, but there is another one that expresses itself into RNA and a protein, and it carries with it, some of these carry with them also segments of the bee genome in the virus itself. So we don't know the number of these, but remember that integration can occur at many different locations, many different sites of the genome, and each of such integration may affect or may not affect the bee behavior, and it may or may not affect bee functions, and only part of it may be a cause of CCD. So not every integration is causing CCD, not every survived bee would develop CCD, etc., etc. And remember, this is, again, this is the working hypothesis that my group is now working on. It's not hard fact yet. It's logical. Logical and correctness is not the same. So, question is, integration at a certain locus causes behavioral alteration, yes or no? A history of IAPV infection, not necessarily current infection, is a prerequisite for CCD development. What I'm saying is that maybe not the infection is causing CCD, but maybe the grandmother of this bee has been affected by IAPV. It has been integrated into her her genome, and her granddaughter, still carrying the integrated sequences, was exposed to conditions that will evoke the appearance of CCD. Infection or transmission or expression of chimeric proteins are affected by environmental factors such as varroa. And again, to stress it out, this is an hypothesis. Now, what could be the varroa role? And when I'm talking about varroa, it could be any other agent. Okay, I'm talking about varroa because we found the same thing that happens in the bee also happening in the varroa. Simply a vector of IAPV. Well, I'll drop the word simply, but a vector of IAPV, because I don't think this is as simple as that. And is that a sort of genetic material exchange between the varroa and the bee, mediated by IAPV? Meaning that the virus may be a vector that shuttles genome sequences between the bee and the varroa, or any other host of that virus. Or maybe the varroa was mediating the evolution of IAPV from KBV or vice versa. Or, I don't know. Now, neither CCD nor Varroa have been deported in Australia. And now I learned it also in Hawaii. And is that an indication that an interplay of IAPV and Varroa is required for the development of CCD? Now, let me elaborate a little bit about that. And this is still a thinking. History of IAPV is only priming the B for CCD. Then history of IAPV is only priming the B for CCD. And again, remember, this is my thinking, is only priming the Bs for CCD. Some other conditions may come on top of IAPV to make the appearance of the CCD syndrome. And these other agents are well distributed in the B world. So when Diana and Ian Lipkin were doing their survey, it was not differential. Varroa wouldn't be differential. Varroa is in CCD and in non-CCD places. But IAPV would be differential. And it doesn't mean that the B that they checked out was diseased with IAPV. It could be that their ancestor someplace has been affected with IAPV. It got the IAPV into its genome. It has been expressed as an RNA. And what they found out is transcripts that carry IAPV sequences. Yes or no? We'll find out next year, another year. Since IAPV is not the direct, because again, I'm talking for myself. Since IAPV is not the direct cause of CCD, but a prerequisite for CCD development, many environmental factors such as other parasites or chemicals may affect CCD. CCD development from IAPV primed bees, which is the key words, IAPV prime bees to develop CCD. Not they won't necessarily develop it, but they are primed to develop it. I'm reaching the end. A few months ago, a company has been established in Florida by the name of Biologist. I think it's a very nice name. And they've approached me, and the investors are a Florida person and an Israeli investor. And they approached me to lead the science in the company, and I cannot elaborate much on that, but I think we are on the way to find a very promising and very practical way to control IAPV. And with that, I would like to thank you on the background of my beautiful campus.
Do we have a question? Quick question, I will write. Yes.
In Israel, the conditions that you've seen here about economic and environmental pressures, do you see that in Israel with the apiculture industry?
I don't know. As I told you, I'm not a big person. I was approached by the extension people in Israel to do the research on this mortality of bees, and I came across IAPV. I'm not the person to ask that. What I can tell you is that I'm being told that CCD is appearing in Israel at a speedy rate. And one more thing about you talked before about Europe. I got samples from Spain, I think 20 bee samples. One of them was diagnosed positive for IAPV.